Welcome to the NatureBacked podcast, where we are talking about climate change and the green economy. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today I'm speaking with Magnus Jern, founder and chief executive of Barcelona-based Tap Water. Welcome to NatureBacked, Magnus.
Thank you for having me here.
Tell us in a few words, what is Tap Water doing?
So Tap Water's mission is basically to eliminate the need for bottled water by providing simple, affordable, and sustainable alternatives. So in a nutshell, like, our view is that bottled water is really bad for the planet and just completely unnecessary. So we're working on alternative products that provide a better experience, basically, for people and that are much more sustainable. And we're focused on consumers and households. So that's really our market. Whereas obviously there's a lot of other areas you can focus on as well.
I remember years ago trying the product out, and at that point it was a thing you were screwing to your hose, or what you call it at home, the tap. That's the tap water name, smart me. How much has the product evolved over the years?
A lot. So we took the approach, because my background is from software and from development of digital services, we took the approach and trying to make hardware in the same way as you do digital services, with like user-centric design, with iterative methods, constantly updating and improving. Because historically, if you look at the space, companies like Brita and Philips and others that develop products, they develop a new product every 10 years, and then they milk it, and then they come up with a new product 10 years later. So yes, it's evolved a lot. Like the things that we've really focused on are making it more sustainable, making the water taste better, making the customer experience better, and also quality, making the product last longer. Because if we want it to be sustainable, ideally these products should last five to 10 years. It's difficult with plastics though. I mean, like the most difficult things we've learned during this journey is just how hard it is to make hardware.
I've heard that from many entrepreneurs, to be honest. How many consumers have you reached by today?
So we've sold about 200,000 filters in total over the last 5 years. Not all of those are still active, but that's the number. And in some areas where we've really focused, like Barcelona, we're now in 3-4% of all households. So actually, in every single building, there's someone that has a tap water filter. And generally, you know, we're getting into more and more of them. And we can see the network effect of that. It's actually great, because if you come into your neighbor's house, your friend's house, and you see that they have one of these products, then the likelihood that you're going to buy it is much greater than otherwise. Mm. Because behavioral change of this kind is super hard. Like we were very naive when we started the company. Our belief was that this is a product that saves you money. Like, compared, most people spend 300-400 euros per year on bottled water. It's more convenient. You don't have to carry home 1,000 kilos of water per year. And if you look, like, in Barcelona, a lot of people live in apartments without the elevator on the fifth floor. It's definitely not convenient. It's healthier, because actually bottled water contains a lot of microplastics, hormone disruptors, just bad stuff. And it's much better for the planet. So our view, this is a no-brainer. We're going to be able to change everyone across to water filters instead of buying bottled water. Unfortunately, that has not been the reality. Bottled water consumption has continued to increase during this period, which is just crazy. It's crazy. Like, with all the media that we're getting, with everything we're getting told about how bad plastic pollution is and how bad plastic is, people just buy more. Like, that's the
why.
And the reason is that just behavioral change is just so hard. Like, when you speak to people, they're like, yes, I know I should buy your product, but, you know, bottled water is not that expensive. Like, people don't think about it, because each bottle is quite cheap. And then they're like, I have to go to the store anyway and buy things, so, you know, I might as well pick up my favorite water brand. And then they're like, and, you know, bottled water is better. Like, it's healthier, because that's what the companies tell you. They have more minerals. It's called mineral water.
Yes.
In Europe, which is really bad. And then fourth, they're like, I recycle. So, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm recycling the plastic. We've definitely seen, like, so to change behavior through advertising and marketing is impossible. Like, the only way you can do it is really through friends and family. Like, it's it's getting other people to influence you. And that's been probably the most important learning during this period. And I think we can see this with like electric cars, with everything basically, or insulation. Like it's just the only thing that makes us do these things are either regulation, that it's an like that the cost really increases, like now with energy costs, where suddenly people are like, oh, maybe I should isolate my house. Or maybe I should install solar panels when I live in Spain, where we have 280 days of sun. And I mean, I'm hoping we'll see the same impact in the coming years in water, but like without more regulation, it's probably not going to happen. Like realistically, we cannot expect consumers to change themselves to become more sustainable.
We see, I mean, 5 years ago when you started, you seemed like the Don Quixote, lonely soldier on the field, talking about taking on the bottled water. It seems to me that at least the kind of in general knowledge, the kind of awareness of the problem has increased, and we are seeing a bunch of the companies who are coming to the market with a mission to, you know, fight against the plastic pollution and so on.
Yeah. But it's a small segment that are buying the products. I mean, that is just the reality. And we saw this, like it was the easiest period actually to sell, and the cheapest customer acquisition cost was the first couple of years, because then we got all of the green people, the people that are zero wasters, the people that really are focused and that have a passion for this. And then it becomes more difficult, but we're going to get there. You know, I'm absolutely sure there's, like if you look in Spain, 45% of the population buy bottled water. That's 7 million households. In Europe, it's 65 million households. Worldwide, it's like 500 million plus consuming something like 250 billion bottles per year. The numbers are just really ridiculous. But we will get there for sure in the coming years.
Is there some kind of the logical way to get there faster? I mean, is there some kind of, I don't know, the non-plastic coalition of water providers, or is there I don't know, cooperation ways with the others or something like that?
I mean, typically, no, I don't think there's, like, the only fast way, I think, is regulation. Mm. That's the honest answer. Like the other path is slow, and it's going to happen, but it's just going to take a much longer period of time. And from our perspective, you know, the more competition we have, actually, the better it is. Brita, which owned 95% of the market when we started, they were actually really grateful that we came into the market. We met them several times, and they're like, you know, it was amazing. Our sales increased dramatically when tap water came in, because suddenly there was someone that was really promoting this. That's a challenge as well as the underdog. I think the other trend that we've also seen in the space is that the cost of direct consumer marketing has increased so much in the last 5 years. So you can see this in the direct consumer space, and obviously also with the current market in terms of investments. There's not that many VCs that are interested in investing in like five year lifetime value. Like they want returns now. They want profitable companies. So I think this also means that a lot of the industry in our space, the growth will slow down over the coming year, because there's just not the appetite to invest as much in marketing as there was before. Exactly. And our answer to this, like one of the things that we're really pushing for now, is we started selling mainly through our website online, this D2C and Amazon. And now we're really pushing into retail. And I think that could actually be something that matters, because if we can get big retailers like Carrefour, or like in Sweden, it would be ICA, or you know, Lidl and Aldi in Germany. If we can get these companies to actually put water filters as an alternative next to the bottle of water and promote it equally, then that could actually change behavior, because then that will make people think, you know, if it's as easily accessible, then why not? So maybe that's something where we can change it. And we can see that there is an interest from these companies to do it, because their sustainability teams have made big commitments, and their CEOs. It's more difficult from a revenue perspective, because they still make more money from bottled water. Like if you look at the cost of bottling water with your own brand, I mean the margins are like illegal drugs.
Yeah.
they're very high. So that just means it's difficult. But this is one of our major pushes this year. So we're really moving into retail now in Spain and Italy and Germany and France. Hopefully that will give us a lot faster growth and reach.
Reach is definitely something which is there. You mentioned a few times regulators. Is there any kind of chance that you're probably following the sector quite closely. Is there a way to expect from, I don't know, Brussels or any of the local regulators to ban the plastic bottled water kind of totally?
Unlikely. Like at the moment, the focus has been on providing better tap water, which I think is great. So there's been a lot of regulation now, like the drinking water. I think I can't remember the exact name, but it's like, so there's been a lot of effort to basically promote that tap water is good and that and making sure that all European countries have high standards and so on. Unfortunately, we don't really see that having an impact though on consumption. But it's probably the right thing because it's easier than to make regulation, because then you can say, look, we've solved the drinking water issue and now there's no excuse. I think the big challenge specifically with bottled water is that what do you then, like if you ban bottled water or if you regulate it, what do you do with soda drinks, like with Coca-Cola, with orange juice, with all the other things? Because the argument will be that, yeah, then people are just going to buy bad, like sugary drinks instead of drinking water, which is bad for our health.
But that's a good idea. Maybe you should team up with a Coca-Cola or one of those sugar drinks makers, and they would be probably happy to do that, you put their marketing budget to work on, against the bottled water, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and this is probably another thing. Like, we know that at least Nestle and Danone, which are two of the biggest bottled water brands in Europe, together with Coca-Cola and PepsiCo, they really have true initiatives to reduce bottled water sales and replace it with other things. But it's difficult again, like, because it's a multi-billion euro business. So you need to make sure that you're replacing it with another multi-billion euro business. So if they can see that the potential is there, they will do it. So that's also one of our hopes in the near future.
But what's the offer to the to this industry? If you replace plastic with glass, we will be all happy, or?
It's not really. I mean, that's, this gets into a really complicated area, which is like the cost of different materials and the sustainability of different materials. Glass is more sustainable than plastic, but only if you reuse the plastic, the glass bottles like 20 times.
Exactly.
Otherwise, and that's expensive to manage. So I mean, we don't really see a big trend around that. Actually, even in the countries that were really good at using reusable bottles, like in the Nordics and in the 1980s and 90s, most of them have stopped doing it. Like they've actually killed those programs because they were just too expensive to manage.
But that's like reuse, not like remelting or... Yeah, okay. Because I mean, most of the Nordics are still kind of they do not reuse, but they recycle most of the glass bottles, right?
Exactly, but that's not enough. Then it's actually not more sustainable than plastic. Plastic is better.
Okay. Wow.
Plastic bags are actually better than paper bags.
Exactly. I've read that also recently somewhere, which is like totally crazy. But yeah, I wanted to ask you about the kind of push to the push to their retail. Have you tried to work with kind of local water companies? I think it would be a really natural kind of additional selling point to the Tallinna Vesi or whatever the local water providers.
I agree. It's complicated though, because this depends a little bit on the country, but most local water companies are publicly owned, which means that they cannot partner up with individual companies. And secondly, they're very wary about saying that their water is not good enough to drink without a filter.
I understand that. Sorry.
That is actually the biggest issue. So I mean, we were, for some, we actually were about to do a big partnership with Aguas de Barcelona, which is the big water company in Barcelona. And the CEO said, "Look, there's one criteria: you can never say anything negative about tap water." And we said, "Okay, that's fine. The only thing we'll say is that it tastes bad." Mm. And he was like, "That's fine. You know, you can say that it tastes bad." But in the end, they could not get the sign off from the local politicians to do it.
I mean,
the other challenge
is right. People would be using more water. What's that to use? Kind of lose really for the local politicians?
Yeah. No, it's a crazy thing. I mean, the other thing that you'll see is with media, it's actually also complicated to do things because the advertising money that they get from these big companies like Danone, Coca-Cola, and PepsiCo, they really do not want to piss them off. Mm. Like the private media companies do not attack these companies. Mm. They only do it if there's public media that comes out that does something, that they will copy the same, but they're very careful actually about what they write. You wouldn't think so. Like, you think that there's this...
I wouldn't think from the inside of the media industry, no. But but I understand for anything, you know, bigger than news coverage.
Yeah.
Yes, I do understand that point, of course, that you don't expect to see the editorial of the newspaper saying that, you know, stop using plastic bottled water, and the next page there would be a big plastic bottled water advert. No, yes, of course it wouldn't work. Hmm.
So yeah, big challenge. But like I said, we're the other thing that we've really changed also over the last, like when we spoke the first time, our focus was on Spain and Europe with potable tap water. And since then, we've also made a big push into filters for non-potable water. So for countries like India, Nigeria, Pakistan, Vietnam. So we've developed a similar faucet filter, but that has ultra filtration, so it removes 99.999% of all bacteria and viruses, which is the biggest issue in many countries. And we're seeing really strong growth there. And there, you know, it's not necessary. Like, sometimes we're competing with bottled water, but it's typically bottled water that is street water. They sell it in caskets, so big bags, and that water is normally not very good. Like, when they do tests of it, that water they use whatever the cheapest methods of filtration are. So they will actually find a lot of bacteria and viruses in that as well. So,
wow.
So there we can really see also a huge impact. And obviously, also if you look in these countries, their waste management is much, much worse. Like, the risk of plastic bottles ending up in rivers and lakes and eventually the ocean is much greater than it is in Europe, where I don't think that happens to the same extent.
The looking into the 2023, what will be your big challenges?
So number one is really scaling up, like replicating the success that we've had in Barcelona. Because if we can get to 3-4% of households across Spain, and then maybe Italy, which is another huge bottled water consuming country, and the south of France, then we will start having serious impact. Like, then we're starting to get into the hundreds of millions of bottles that we replace every year. So that's really what we want to try to do. It's replicate the success through the same methods. It's getting friends and family, getting everybody else to tell them this is much better, getting the kids to tell the parents, because that is also something that typically works. If the kids go home to a friend's house and they see that they're not buying bottled water, and the teacher says bottled water is bad, then, you know, the kids are going to say, no, I'm not drinking this.
Absolutely.
So I think everything for us is about scale. It's reaching more consumers this year. And then optimizing the products. So we've also broadened, you asked originally about our portfolio. So we started with a simple faucet water filter. Now we have one model that is much smaller. We have them in chrome because people want more design colors. We also have a glass jug. So it's kind of like the Brita ones, but a model in glass instead, which people really like. And we have water bottles that you can carry with you wherever you go that have built-in filters. You can also use them for travel. So if you're traveling and backpacking in Asia, you can drink the water wherever you go.
Wow, that's a big promise, right?
Yes. And I mean, it's tested. It's actually the technology inside it comes from a Finnish-Swedish company, Munksjö Åhlström,
Okay.
which like it's they developed the technology actually for NASA for space exploration, and now it's used in our water bottles. So that's also like it's always exciting to see when you get space technology into consumer products on Earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we talked about where you guys are. We talked about the next things. Thanks, Magnus, for your time this morning, and good luck with your endeavors.
Thank you, and thank you for the great work you're doing and spreading the word about green technology and the space.
And the world needs changing, right? So what are the other options?
That is true.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electric acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together, we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.